Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Please be advised that Gen X, This Is Why, contains adult language.
I would 100% make a cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows for Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, if you're out there, I got you.
Hi, and welcome to Gen X, This Is Why, the podcast where we re-examine the sometimes bizarre and often scarring media from our shared childhood. My name is Amy, and I'm a proud Gen Xer born in 1977, tomorrow.
And I'm her sister Jenny, born in 1974.
I want more excitement over my pending birthday tomorrow.
I forgot. Oops.
So I should not be awaiting the UPS driver?
Probably not tomorrow.
Okay. All right. But then again, like, are you going to ship cash? Like, that's just weird.
I mean, people used to do it all the time. I'm not going to put any thought into it, so yeah. The answer is yes.
Jen, I want to talk about a few things, some housekeeping. Okay. First is, we are going to be dropping, by the time this airs, you've heard it, the Patreon episode of Love Boat that we did. So that is a sampler. We're putting it on the main feed. You should have heard it by now. If you like it and you want to hear more, that is the type of stuff that we're doing on our Patreon feed. So you just go to patreon.com and look for Gen X, This Is Why, and it'll walk you through the setup. You can also get a personalized RSS feed and put it right into whatever podcast player you're listening to, so nothing really changes for you. I had another thing. Oh, a recommendation, Jen.
Oh, let's hear it.
I just finished Lalu Rich.
Oh, you were telling me about this.
Now, I don't know where I was while all this LaLaRue, is that how I say it? LuLaRoe. So it's LuLaRich.
Is that the one that's closed?
Yes. Okay. I don't know where I was when all of this was happening, but I seem to have missed it. Like, I've heard of it, and it was kind of in my peripheral vision, but it was not in my life. I didn't have anyone selling LuLaRoe.
I feel like at the time this happened, like, wasn't it in the aughts?
It was, no, I want to say it was like the height of it was like 2015, 2016.
Oh, okay. But when did it start?
I don't know.
Because I feel like you wouldn't have been their target audience. You might be now.
People who buy soft leggies to wear, that would be me.
Yeah, but wasn't it more like middle-aged people? Like, isn't it more like Lululemon's, like,
group? I don't know. You got to be real careful not to lump them in with Lululemon.
No, even though they have... I have tons of Lululemon. I love their stuff.
Yeah. No, this documentary is on Amazon. It has everything. Crazy Mormons who started it. Some dude who's boycotting Kelly Clarkson and is real angry and quotes Star Trek a lot.
Wow.
A lot of sadness. Some crazy culty stuff like... the leader, Deanna, like, running people into Mexico to get them bariatric surgery at a discount. It's got some real dark stuff.
Like, literally?
Yeah, and the owners, Deanna and Mark, the Mormons, like, they're just cocky enough to agree to be in this thing because they don't think they're wrong.
Wow.
So, yeah. Okay. What are you doing?
I'm holding up foam.
I can't even see you at all now.
You're not even on this. I don't even have you on the thing. So
why? Why don't you want to look at me on my birthday?
Because I have the description up that I have to read, and I only have one screen right now. Okay, I'm in an. All right. So I'm in a new recording situation. Hopefully, this will be the permanent home for recording. It's in my art studio. Because there is a major project happening at my new apartment. They're redoing the roof that our terraces sit on. And there's movers. There's going to be roofers there for like 2 months. So,
yeah,
not recording there. Okay. Nothing quiet about that place right now.
Well, and we've been trying to get Jenny's sound better.
Yes.
Like, she had it really dialed in her old home. But now that she's moved, we got to dial it in a little
bit.
Yeah,
I got to. So I think this is probably the right setup. I just have to like set it up in a sane way because right now it looks I look like an insane person.
I'm telling her, just bring a bunch of pillows and put them all around you. And she's like, I don't have anything to put them on.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that could be a problem.
It's not, this isn't like a bedroom. It's an art studio. So there's not a ton of like furniture.
Right. True. All right, Jen. So we are talking about Little House on the Prairie season 5. Is it episode 24?
Yes, this is the season finale.
Episode 24, The Odyssey. A strange choice for the finale.
A strange choice for the finale. Strange name for it. Like, I
know
what
it isn't.
They're referencing, but I don't know.
I feel like Mortal Mission, which is in my top three of all time, right, probably should have been the finale.
Yes, yeah, I agree.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah, this kind of like, I don't know. Let you off on a weird note. Like, this should have been before Mortal Mission.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep. Yeah. All right, so, Jen, read the description for us of The Odyssey.
Oh, well, now you made me take it off the screen, so now I don't know where it
is. Jesus Christ, guys.
And then I have my reading glasses on. My computer's far away from me. Okay, hold on.
Wow.
Wow. The description reads, a 12-year-old boy named Dylan has leukemia and has only been given a few weeks to live. His only dream is to see the Pacific Ocean, and when his overprotective mother is too afraid to take him in, Laura and Albert decide to help get him there.
Okay, I have a few thoughts, high level.
Okay.
I loved this episode because there is a moody teenage boy sitting in the woods, painting, dreaming of the ocean, and reciting Homer. I'm there for it. This is my teenage dream boy.
Okay.
All right, he's not great looking.
No, he's not. He had this, like, was that a mustache?
He was growing a mustache, 100%. Number two, I'm going to give the writers a note here.
Okay.
When you introduce a rando, you can't introduce an assumed relationship with Albert and Laura.
No.
Give us...
We don't buy it.
Give us one scene of them in school together.
Yeah.
Give us one scene of them walking home from school together. Something.
Yeah.
Don't just anything. Make it like we're gonna drop in media res, like we're just gonna drop in and they're already best friends.
Right.
We need something, guys. Okay. All right. Are you comfortable, Jenny?
I think so. Does it sound okay?
You sound fine.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have my thing set up yet, so it's not exactly, I wouldn't call it comfortable.
All right, but you're gonna be done moving. Like, you're done shifting around.
Why, am I shifting a lot?
Yes.
Okay.
And yeah, I hear your paper, and I want to just come through the fucking screen. Okay. We open on a young boy telling the story of the Odyssey. I have an index card. All right. Are we ready for Amy's index card?
Oh, God. This is going to suck. Okay. Let's hear it.
All right, so The Odyssey, an epic poem in 24 books, traditionally attributed to the ancient Greek poet Homer. The poem is the story of Odysseus, king of Ithaca, who wanders for 10 years, although the action of the poem only covers the final 6 weeks, trying to get home after the Trojan War. On his return, he is recognized only by his faithful dog and a nurse. With the help of his son, Odysseus destroys the insistent suitors of his faithful wife, Penelope, mm-hmm. and several of her maids who have fraternized with the suitors and reestablishes himself in his kingdom. So Homer is believed to have written the Iliad and the Odyssey, although scholars have now cast some doubt on the fact that the Iliad and the Odyssey are authored by the same person. It's, really? Yep. It's one of the oldest surviving texts still read by a modern audience. It was written in 8th century BCE. Now I have a question for you. What's BCE?
Okay. I forget. It's Latin words.
Okay. Because I know BC.
Yeah.
But what's BCE?
It's the same idea. It's just, okay. I don't think, the BC, I don't think ever stood for before Christ.
I thought it always stood for, like, before Christianity.
No.
Okay, anyway. So, some people believe that the Iliad and the Odyssey were written separately, and that they merged over time through oral tradition. So, okay. I don't know, have you read the Odyssey?
I've read pieces of the Odyssey through school over the years, but not, I've never like sat down and read it.
I read it and the Iliad. It's wonderful. It's a difficult read. It's a very long read. The translation was done a very long time ago, so it's translated into that old English. I think there's probably a more modern version, but I'm not really sure. It's amazing. I loved it. We've read versions of it to the kids through the years, especially since I have a Penelope. We've done that for quite a while. Highly recommend.
My favorite ancient text is Beowulf.
Oh, I love Beowulf. Mm-hmm. All right, Jen. So this dude is hanging out with Albert and Laura.
Can I just say, when I watched this, I was context switching like a motherfucker. Like, I was like, working, watch some Little House, take notes, working, do the laundry, eat, working, watch some Little House. Like, I was like putting it through.
Jenny,
the whole
day. I have a tech question for you. You just used another tech term, context switching.
Oh, yeah, we use that all
right,
time.
So I have another question for you. I'm trying to think of the term that you used to explain. You said to me, don't change the whole system because of a blank case. Is it a risk case?
Edge case.
Edge case.
Edge case.
Can you explain that for our listeners?
So when you have a user using technology, there's like the main critical user journeys, right? So like if you're on an iPhone, a critical user journey would be, I want to make a phone call, right, to somebody in my contacts. Or I want to make a phone call to like a number I have to dial that's not my contact. Those are critical user journeys. I want to open Safari. I want to search the web. I
want
to download an app.
Too far down the rabbit hole. Okay.
An edge case would be like if someone's doing something super weird with their phone that like most people aren't doing.
Okay.
So like I would like say I wanted to record a podcast on my phone. Well, that's probably not an edge case. I don't know. Like if you're doing something totally weird with it, like you're using it as like a headlamp.
Right.
Like
the okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's. So you have to account for edge cases and how people might use it, but you, a lot of times, like, you're not going to prioritize those or put a lot of money behind those or whatever, like, as long as it works good enough.
Okay, I need to remember that because I was trying to use it at work.
Yeah.
And so I was calling it a risk case.
Just think of it as, like, the rule, like, most people using something, right. This is the rule of how they use it, and this is the exception to the rule. Like, just think of it that way.
Okay, all right. That's been Tech Corner with Jenny.
Okay. No, that's not. No, not a thing. This is my break from that.
So this dude, Dylan, is sitting in the woods reciting the Odyssey and dreaming about seeing the Pacific Ocean. So he's my, again, teenage dream boy. He's painting the California coastline, and it looks pretty amazing.
He's a decent painter, and I have to say, like, what is he using for reference?
Jenny, what's his medium? Is he using oils or watercolor?
It looks like oil paint. It's definitely not watercolor.
Okay.
And so, there wouldn't have been acrylics at this time, I don't think.
So it's got to be oil.
It looks like oil.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know what his reference is either. He's painting it from his mind. Maybe
but he never saw it.
But maybe his dad showed him something of it or sketched it.
There must have been. But even if there was, there could have been a photograph at this time, but it wouldn't have handled motion well, so it would have been very blurry.
Yeah.
There could be drawings of it. He could have seen a painting of it. He could have seen a painting of it.
Yeah, he could have. It, you know, Walnut Grove, the cultural.
But like to do all those paintings that he did, and like he clearly understands how it works. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like how the currents work and how the water would look, and like you know.
Yeah.
And he has no reference for that, so that's. Okay. I don't know if I all believe right. that.
Okay, so back at home, he's painting another seascape that his mother calls moody. You know how I feel about this, because there's nothing more I love than a moody sky over a moody sea, and I'm here for it. Guys, on my Instagram, like my personal Instagram that I don't let anyone see, I'm constantly taking pictures of cloudy skies and just saying, I love moody weather. I love moody skies.
You should move to Seattle.
Yeah, I know. All right, so their whole cabin is filled with seascapes, and then Dylan has a dramatic nosebleed.
Yes. Well, can we talk about how his mom was making hot chocolate?
His mom was making hot chocolate.
How, like, fucking delicious. Finally, somebody making a delicious nighttime snack.
I know, I know. Do you want to hear something cute? It'll probably make you gag, but I thought it was cute. My in-laws, guys, have been married for, like, 58 years. And the other day,
oh my God.
I know. The other day, I was talking to my mother-in-law. My father-in-law's sick, and he's going through some stuff right now, and he's really cold. And she's like, I made him a cup of hot cocoa with some marshmallows in it. I thought that was cute.
Okay.
Right. Jenny, what would it take for you to make somebody a cup of hot cocoa with some marshmallows in it?
Depends on who that person is.
Okay.
Like, am I doing it for you?
What if it's, let's bring our buddy back, Jeff Goldblum.
I would 100% make a cup of hot cocoa with marshmallows for Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, if you're out there, I got you.
All right. So this is the third nosebleed this week, and the mother's like, we better go see Doc Baker. And I just wrote, Dylan's dead.
Oh, shit. Death watch.
So the dad, we learn later that the dad has died from something.
I'm going to assume it's leukemia.
Maybe.
Because isn't that hereditary?
I think it can be. I had dinner last night with a woman whose daughter, 4-year-old daughter, had leukemia. And she was saying that they think it was in the family on the father's side and that it could have been hereditary. So I think it could be. I don't know a lot about leukemia, guys. I'm just...
Well, there's two... Isn't there two kinds? There's the...
Acute
and the chronic.
Chronic, yeah.
And chronic you can live with.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, I'm assuming, is the acute kind.
And I didn't think the acute was hereditary.
But I don't know.
I'm going to pause right here and get this right, because this is serious shit. So let's pause. Okay. This is according to Healthline, so I don't know how great that is, but...
Try again.
Leukemia is caused by mutations in the DNA of your blood cells. Yada-da-da-da-da.
Sounds...
The mutations are genetic, but usually not hereditary. This means that while leukemia is caused by mutations in your genes, these genetic abnormalities aren't often inherited from your family. This is called an acquired gene mutation. It's not always known what causes these mutations. You may be genetically predisposed to developing leukemia, but lifestyle risk factors such as cigarette smoking can also make you more likely to develop leukemia. Boy, what doesn't cigarette smoking make you susceptible to?
My God.
Other environmental factors such as exposure to certain chemicals and radiation could also be behind the DNA abnormalities that cause leukemia. So it sounds like you can be, the fact that you can be, you can inherit the ability to be predisposed to the genetic mutation, but you don't necessarily inherit the leukemia.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense.
So now we see him at Doc Baker's and he's getting examined, and Doc Baker asks his mother, whose name is Mrs. Whitaker, if Dylan leads an active life. Well, he kind of implies he doesn't. He's like, that dude doesn't do much, does he?
I mean, he's like a teenager.
Yeah, it was
in the 1800s. I mean, you just were active to live.
It was some shade by Dickbag Doc Baker.
It's not like he had Seamless or Grubhub delivery.
It's not like Jenny ordering Grubhub from down the block when she's so hungover she can't get out of bed.
I walked over and picked it up today.
Okay, good for you. All right, so the mother's like, yeah, you know what? He has been sick a lot, like the last 6 months. And Doc Baker says, his symptoms and... his blood samples. Doc Baker's all about this blood now.
He's got a lab going.
Mm-hmm. They tend to point to a specific disease. He says it used to be diagnosed as rheumatic fever, but it's not. And Doc says he walks over to her real creepy and he puts his hand right on her shoulder. Guys, if you're telling me my kid is sick, don't touch me. Don't touch me if you're delivering any kind of bad news to me.
Okay, like, that's random.
Just don't touch me. Doc says... Dylan has leukemia, and he needs to rest.
Here's why I thought maybe the father died of leukemia, because she seems to understand what
she
that means.
She seems to know what it is. I agree.
And I feel like if this was a time, and again, we did zero research on leukemia, I don't know, we probably should
have. Where's your index card on this?
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
So I feel like at this time, like, if they're like, it used to be rheumatic fever, now it's leukemia, like, it seems like they are just starting to understand it. Like, would the common person know what that means? Probably not, right? Unless she already had experience with it.
She immediately leapt to, how long does he have? So she also knows it's fatal.
Yeah. So she knows. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Doc says, Dylan may have 6 weeks or he may have 6 months. Dude, you're asking Doc Baker?
Or 6 days. Because it seems like he was,
dying. As we see that happens. Yes.
Yeah.
Guess who was crying, Jen?
The mother?
Me.
Oh.
This really hit me. This really hit me. I was crying. Now Dylan comes in and he says he wants to get back to his painting. And back at home, Dylan is confused as to why he has to stay outside. Or inside, I'm sorry. He wants to go outside and brood in the woods and paint the ocean. And the mom lies and she's like, look, Doc Baker just said you need to take it easy for a bit. Jenny, let the kid go outside. What is she doing?
I don't understand, because it's also really funny that he's outside, like, in the woods. Like, you know, usually if you go outside in the woods and you paint, you're painting from nature. Like, you're painting the thing in front of you. And he's, like, painting the ocean in the middle of the woods. It's kind of funny.
Yeah, it is kind of funny. So the mother snaps at him, and he pushes back, and he's like, what's wrong? And then he says, if I'm so sick, why don't I have medicine?
Yep.
And she's like, blah, 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 blah. Like, she doesn't know what to say to this.
Gen X pro tip.
Ooh, okay.
If you don't get meds for your illness, you're either fine or you're going to die.
Wow, okay. All
right. Right? Your doctor's either like, you don't need medicine, like, you're fine. Or there's no medicine that can help you.
Yeah, because especially, like, in today's world, they'll just throw any medicine at you. Like, I know. If it's something, you know.
Yeah, if they don't give you a pill bottle, then
you're screwed.
I'd be worried. You're either going to be fine or dead.
So if the doctor kicks you out to give your parent the diagnosis, you're dead. Yep. And if there's no medicine, you're dead.
Yep.
Okay. So
You're either fine or dead.
We're going to have a lot of paranoid people at their next doctor's visit.
Like, you're either totally fine or you're dead if they don't give you medicine. Mm-hmm.
So he asks if he's going to get better, and the mother finally says no. And he hugs her, and she's sobbing. I felt for this mother in this moment. This really was intense. I was sobbing. It was bad at my house.
But like, he's comforting her, and he's the one dying. Okay.
So the next day, Jen, we see Dylan outside, and Albert and Laura are with him. And we don't know how they know him, again. So, you know, whatever. We just assume this friendship exists. Dylan confides in them that he's going to go see the ocean. Tonight.
Get ready, because I'm flipping my page.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you take
notes on the tablet. And Albert's immediately all over this.
Yes, he is. Jenny, Albert says he's going to go because he has experience with this kind of thing.
Albert knows how to travel and, like, make his way around places. He knows how to do this.
Albert is rising to the top as my favorite character. Favorite kid character. Favorite kid
character. Albert the bastard, man. He knows how to manage this kind of project.
He really does. He's kind of awesome. So Albert's like, look, Laura, I'm going to sneak out once the parents are asleep. Just don't let them know.
Well, the best is, I'm like, there's no way Laura is going to resist this adventure.
There's no way.
No way. No way.
I was super excited because this parallels my own desire to get to the Pacific Ocean, which was decades long. And I was happy to finally go at 39 years old.
I saw the Pacific, I think I was like 21.
The first time I saw New York City, I was 21. And we lived 2 hours from it.
Oh, no. I was like 17 or 18.
Can I bash mom and dad? They don't listen to this, right?
Yeah, because all of the traveling I've done, everything I've seen, has been on my own.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. Mom and Dad, we live 2 hours from New York City, never took us.
Yeah. We went to Florida. I mean, Aim, I live here and I don't see them too often.
That's true.
I mean, we went to Florida.
And we went to Florida. Ocean City, Maryland.
Ocean City, Maryland, yeah.
That was it. But they didn't have a lot of money.
Yeah, to be fair.
But to be fair, we could drive to New York City.
To be fair, you could have gone to New York City.
Yeah, they could have taken us over to the Statue of Liberty. I've done this with my kids. Yeah. It's like 10 or 12 bucks a ticket to get on the ferry to go over. Like, they could have done, for the price of one of those New Jersey vacations, we could have went to New York City just for the day and saw the Statue of Liberty and da 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 da. But they didn't take us. And this is one thing, like, I'm really adamant about doing with my girls. Like, when I saw the Pacific Ocean for the first time, they did too. And they were 9. And I'm really proud of that. Like, I'm really proud that they saw the Pacific Ocean at 9 years old. And I've taken them to New York, and I've taken them to D.C., and we're hopefully going to take them to Europe. So I really want them to see more than we saw.
Yeah, like, I'd love to take them to London and then go to the Louvre, take the train down to Paris. It's 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, like, I, you know, that was my big thing, is the Louvre. And I didn't see the Louvre till I was, I don't know,
51, 52? All right, guys. The next morning... Wait. In the drama barn... I almost missed Paw. Jesus. In the drama barn, Paw's crafting a gift for Carrie. Yes, Jenny.
I have my hand raised.
Yes.
Why? How old is Carrie at this point? Paw's making a wood puzzle for, like, a 3-year-old. Right?
Is it a wood puzzle or is it a wooden horse?
No, it's a wood puzzle. It has, like,
big pieces. Right.
It has, like, 5 pieces. It's like an animal. And Carrie reads later, so she's got to be, like, 7.
And it's like she probably would be playing with Duplo blocks instead of Legos.
Like, why is he making a toddler gift?
Yep. So Laura comes into the drama barn, and she asks Pa, what would he do if he only had a few months to live? God, I love this man so much. He says he'd like to see all of his children grow up and have happy families of their own.
Oh, Lord.
And Laura's like, but what if you only had a month to live? Like, no, she goes, what if somebody only had a month to live and wanted something really, really bad? She's doing one of these hypotheticals to get permission to go to California.
So I have that. Laura has tricked Pa into ambient permission.
Yes, she has. Yes, she has.
there's a, that we use ambient in technology when, like, it's not a specific thing that you ask for and get, but you kind of already have it, like access or something. It's ambient permission.
Okay.
He hasn't actually given her permission, but she sussed
out. It's close enough. She has it. It's permission adjacent.
Yeah.
So Laura announces to Albert that she's going too, and he's like, oh, great, a girl's coming along.
You knew Laura wasn't going to resist this, Albert.
I know. So then Laura says she's going to write a note, because, of course, she's an Ingalls girl, and she's got to write a note. But she's going to stick it in Carrie's present.
What the fuck, man?
I don't know.
This is so they find it later, I guess.
This is so we can justify giving Carrie, you know, $1,000 a year, whatever they pay her. So the next morning, Carrie's awake, super annoying because it's her birthday.
Well, I love how Albert, though, when Laura's like, I'm going to put this note in Carrie, and he's like, don't leave a trail. What are you leaving a trail? He gets really intense on this ride.
So they wake up. Carrie wakes up. She's like, I want to open my gifts. I want to open my gifts. And Carolyn's like, okay, take it down a notch, first of all. But she's like, get your brother and sister. So they're yelling for Laura and Albert. They're not around. Pa's like, they're probably outside. I'll go find them. Carrie can't wait. I can't wait!
This is like
what?
This is
Alyssa!
Why younger kids always think that, oh, you know, our parents had perfection after me. That's why they didn't have any more kids. No. After the first kid, they're like, this is a cinch. We'll have another. And then they have a kid that's like a psycho and is terrible and like so high maintenance that they're like, can't do this again.
Oh, that's really what happens. Is that what happens? Okay. That's really what happened with us.
That is what happened.
No, mom and dad had you, and they're like, oops, we accidentally had a grouchy adult, and I really wanted a baby. All right,
I was a very independent kid. I was like that kid on that movie, The Ring.
Yes. So she finds the letter. Carrie finds the letter, and she starts to read it, and Carolyn's like, give me that, because she's like, we're headed to the Pacific Ocean. Carolyn's like, what? She rips it out of her hand. Cut to the trio making their way through the woods, and I'm like, what are they walking? Oh wait, okay. The plan
what other
is
do they have?
The plan, I thought they were walking to California.
Oh god, no, that would take them like 4 years.
So the plan is they're gonna hitch up with some weirdo and get a ride to the train station. Weirdo does not want to help, but Dylan has some kind of coughing fit. So he went from having almost no symptoms to symptomatic overnight. He has a coughing fit, and the guy's like, okay, I'll take you to the train. Oh, I know where your index card is, but go on.
Why is Laura carrying a briefcase?
It's his suitcase.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. He needs a suitcase to run into the ocean and die.
Oh, is that his paints? His paints are probably
Probably, yeah. Charles takes Laura's letter over to Mrs. Whittaker's, and they both stand there.
Oh my God, this was, guys, this was incredible.
They're standing there for a real long time, trying to figure out where the kids have gone, as they are literally surrounded by 85 paintings of the Pacific Ocean. The visuals on this was amazing.
I have, there are literally 100 paintings of the ocean. They can't figure this out. It was incredible. It's like, I don't know, where do you think he went, guys? My question, though, wouldn't the Atlantic be closer?
From Minnesota? No.
It's probably about equal.
But I thought that they would have, since Minnesota is so north, that they would have gone to Seattle or Portland because Minnesota is so far north. But they go to California. And I'm here for it. I'm here for it. San Francisco. Love it. Okay.
It's easy to get there on train, probably.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So there's some bum getting kicked off a car by a real pissed off dude. He kind of looks like a Daniel Stern from Home Alone. Like, he's just real pissed off. And the dude who brought the kids to the train causes a distraction so the kids are able to jump on.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Yes.
I never saw Home Alone.
What?
I never saw Home Alone.
What?
Why would I watch that movie?
This is like, guys, I had a conversation with one of my friends at work the other day, an English professor who I love to death, and we're talking movies, and he has never seen Dead Poets Society.
I mean,
an English professor.
Yeah, that's true. That's weird.
I was like, dude, you have to see it. Jenny, Home Alone?
That
really?
Would be like a ceramicist not seeing Ghost.
I guess so. Or sculptor not seeing Rodin.
I didn't see Rodin.
Or Camille Claudel. Camille Claudel. That was the name of the movie. Okay. So I'm very excited at this point, guys, because it has finally occurred to me that we're going to see California.
Well, can I tell you that, like, that whole scheme that Albert put together, like, he's a boss. He's a total boss.
Okay. So they're on the ocean. Or they're on the train. I'm sorry.
Like, wow, that was quick.
Charles arrives at the train station. He's asking the conductor if the kids are there. He's like, no. But the weird dude overhears this, and he approaches Charles, and he's like, they're on the train. It stops in Caldwell. You might be able to catch it. And Pa's like, I need a racehorse.
Because what is Pa doing?
He's going
looking for Laura.
He is, and he's trying. He's searching for hero mode. He's like,
He needs to get into hero mode. Mm-hmm.
So on the train, Dylan is weak and Laura and Albert are worried. And I wrote, if this kid doesn't make it to the ocean, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind. This kid needs to make it to the ocean. So some lunatic just randomly jumps on the train.
You know who he looks like?
Adrian Brody.
That's an insult to Adrian Brody because Adrian Brody's quite handsome.
He is, but that's what this dude looks like. But
he looks like a coked up Scott Baio.
I got into a fight in one of the Gen X groups about Scott Baio again. It was rough. Okay. So, coked up Scott Baio jumps on, and he just hops on the train, and he steals their lunch.
Yeah, and Albert's pissed. Albert was going to fight this guy.
And then after he eats their lunch, the dude tries to steal the rest of it. And I wrote, this is like a slow motion robbery. Like, it's a robbery that's happening over a couple hours.
I know. Like, what the hell?
So when they refuse, coked up Scott Baio grabs Albert, tries to throw him off the train. Laura runs up behind them and just, bonk, knocks him right off.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was great. So the train arrives in Caldwell and the kids are all sleeping. And all of a sudden, Dylan is really sick. Albert decides he's going to hop off the train to hustle an old man out of some water.
Can I just tell you, though, what you missed was Pa. There was a shot of Pa riding the horse.
Okay, wait a minute. I didn't see that shot because I wanted to see Pa riding the horse.
Define what you mean by seeing Pa ride the horse, because there was a man riding a horse that was supposed to be Charles.
Oh.
That was so clearly not... Like, do they even try to get stunt doubles that look like the actors?
I don't know. Okay, so Albert ends up getting swindled and has to trade his hat and shit for a cup of water. The conductor catches them. It's the angry Daniel Stern. He catches them and kicks them off the train. And apparently, Jen, this, like, hitching rides on trains was a thing.
Oh, yeah, that was a thing.
Like, this guy's job is to just look and make sure no one's on the boxcar.
Yep.
Okay. They get ushered off, and Charles arrives a few minutes later, and they're gone. But he immediately finds them. Like, no suspense, he finds them. Okay.
Right.
Paul wants to take them home. He's like, all right, motherfuckers, you're coming home with me. And Dylan's like, I'm not going. Not happening. So Laura begs Paul to let them go, but he says no. And Dylan says, look, I might die sooner this way, but I'd rather be out here doing what's important to me than lying in a bed and waiting. And I'm thinking, he's absolutely right.
And Pa's like, this is too crazy. And that's coming from somebody who hung out with Edwards.
That's true. It's true. Is that residual trauma from Edwards? So Dylan's like, it's my life. It's my choice. I need to do this my way. And Charles gives in, but Jenny doesn't have any money because he spent it all on the racehorse.
Well, like, he's standing there. There's this shot. And, like, Michael Landon's hair is getting pretty big at this point in time.
Yeah.
It's getting, like, it's turning into 80s hair.
It is. I'm trying to pretend that's not happening, but it is. So Charles is now part of this. And they're going to jump on the boxcar together. And I wrote, is another hot version of Pa that I'm here for. Hopping trains to head to the Pacific Ocean.
Well, I'm like, is he going to just take his time off of work? And I'm like, he's working on his part-time job, which is looking for Laura.
So the train is going full steam, and Albert and Dylan are awake. Dylan's hungry, and Albert's like, I'll go steal some shit. He climbs on top of the train and starts walking across the cars. Then he gets into the car, and he gets a ton of food from the dude who's selling it. And when he's like, okay, now you owe me $1.08, Albert's like, oh, look, over there, the dude looks, and Albert runs. Now, Jen.
Well, he says, my aunt's going to pay. She's down there.
Right. And then he yells, crime doesn't pay, and he runs out.
That was stupid. He should have said, my aunt is in the next car, C3A. Go get the money from her, and then just left quietly.
Now, you're on a train, guys. It's not like you're in a big crowd and you could just hide. You are in a contained space. They're going to find you. Yeah, they're going to find you. Jesus Christ. Okay, so Charles is pissed when Albert gets back with all this.
Well, and I just have that Albert the Bastard's coming in hot and he has a tail.
So, of course, angry Daniel Stern finds them now. And in what is an epic move... The conductor tries to get them off the train. Charles beats the shit out of him.
He kicks his ass with his own, and he almost hits him with his own baton.
Charles has him on the ground. The dude is bleeding. And he's like, look, motherfucker, you're not going to stop us. I'm getting this sick kid to the fucking ocean and fuck everyone. And I'm like, this is probably the second or third hottest moment of Charles I've ever seen.
I just have. Amy will love this.
I loved it so much. So dude is like, okay, okay, okay. And he just leaves like all beat up. Oh, and then Charles is like, and I'm going to pay the conductor that $1.08 that we owe him. And Timmy's gone to me. He's not going to pay for the fare for the train. He's just going to pay for the food. Okay. Yeah. All right.
They wouldn't be in this situation if he had the money to pay for the fare.
And the kids are all just sitting there like, whoa, what just happened?
Well, like, how awkward. Now they're all, like, on the same train. Like, they have to ride on the train, this guy that beat him up.
It's fantastic. All right, in the middle of the night, Dylan wakes up coughing with the nosebleed. And Laura says, they're close. And Dee's like, or Dylan's like, this is crazy. I don't even know if I can make it. And the kids are like, fuck, yes, you can. We've never seen the ocean either. And now we're invested. And he's like, okay, I have a better team than Odysseus did, and he made it. Okay, nice way to throw Odysseus under the bus, I guess. Later it's morning, and everyone is sleeping except Charles, who hears the bells ringing. They're in San Francisco, Jen!
They're in San Francisco.
They go to a mission for some soup.
So you know the mission, because I guess the missionary was like where you could go and you didn't have food or a place to stay. They have this thing called Mission Burritos now. Like, there's... I don't know if it was like a single place that had these burritos, but they're like around that area now. And we call them baby Jesus burritos because they're like swaddled, like a small swaddled baby. Like, that's
swaddled,
how big they are.
Jenny, swaddled.
Swaddled.
Yes.
Swaddled.
Yes. That sounds delicious.
They're delicious.
Okay. All right. Charles hears some dude in a coach say he's heading to the East Coast or to the coast. I'm sorry. And Charles asks if they can ride along, and the dude agrees.
I have an index card.
Thank you.
Who is this handsome newspaper man?
He's pretty handsome, right?
He looks like Cumberbatch. He looks like a...
Benedict Cumberbatch?
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Oh, he looks like somebody else more, though, and I can't think of who.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Yeah.
I mean, he's no Paw, but he's handsome.
So, he says he's William Harris. So, it's likely that he's William Greer Harrison?
No, Jenny, they say who he is at the end.
Who?
William Hurst.
No, he's not William Hurst.
Yes, he is. They say that.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. He asks if he could have Dylan's story for his newspaper.
Yeah.
And then Charles says, thank you, Mr. Hurst.
I thought he said Harrison.
No.
Oh, then forget my index. I thought he was William Greer Harrison.
Was Hurst in?
No, I have the wrong index card then.
Oh, this is epic. Epic. Do you want to tell us about William Harrison?
Sure. I thought this guy was William Greer Harrison. He would have been about in his 40s at this point. He managed the Thames Mersey Marine Insurance Company from 1879, and then he made numerous attempts at a literary career as a poet, a playwright, and finally as a writer of factual travel literature.
Yeah. No, not him.
He was best known for his involvement in the Bohemian Club, a private club with two locations in San Francisco, one in San Francisco, one in Sonoma, which was a regular meeting place of journalists, artists, musicians, and eventually businessmen. In 1895, William Greer Harrison was the source of an alleged conversation with Dr. Howard in the Bohemian Club, linking the 1888 Jack the Ripper murders in London to an unnamed London physician.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
But it wasn't him.
Interesting, but pointless. Well, you're lucky that I did research for this episode.
There is a random fact for y'all.
Random fact. Okay.
That's nothing to do with this episode.
So they arrive at the ocean, and it's beautiful. And the dude that, you know what it was, Jenny? You were doing too much context switching.
I was. Yes. Well, and I don't have a closed caption on, so I didn't see it. I just heard it.
Okay, well. The dude they rode with wants to use Dylan's story for his newspaper and says he'll pay him for it. It's William Hurst. And I wrote, of course it is. So Paw agrees to this. Like, yeah, okay, give me some money. Because Hurst is like, you know, you got to pay for your way home, dude. So right. Charles is like, all right, I'll take it. So then we see Paw carrying Dylan down on the beach. I love it so much. Dylan is like, it's just like we pictured. And there we see, of course, 1980s Pacific Coast for all of our viewers. So he says, it's just like I pictured. It runs right into the sky and it doesn't have an end. Then he walks creepily towards the ocean, turns around, thanks them all for coming, and walks into the water. Then he starts running and he's wearing his shoes. And I wrote, is he a psychopath who wears their shoes into the ocean?
Well, and I thought he was going to just walk into the ocean and die because, like, get prepared for that because that's how I'm going.
So did I. And Jenny, Timmy pipes up at this moment, okay? Because they showed his feet a lot. Timmy pipes up and he goes, oh my gosh, there are going to be two sets of footprints. And I said, if there are two sets of footprints, I'm shutting down the podcast and I'm never continuing.
I'm done.
I'm done forever, and I'll never watch another episode.
I just have everyone has moved to tears. End of season 5.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so that's the end, Jenny. What'd you think?
I agree with you. I feel like the other episode, which was called Mortal Mission, would have been a better, like, finale.
Yeah.
It was more finale material. Like, this was okay, but it was not finale material.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
Usually Pa has some kind of meltdown in the finale.
Yes. Or somebody almost dies. You know, Doc Baker had a meltdown in Mortal Mission.
Dylan almost dies.
Dylan, I don't know. They don't tell us, like, does Dylan go back home? I took it as he was running into the ocean and dying.
Yeah, that's probably what he
was. And guys, for those of you wondering, like, what's going on with his poor mother? The narrative throughout that I forgot to mention is Dylan does not want his mother to sit and watch him die because she had to do that with the father.
Right.
Okay. All right, Jenny. So whose fault is this?
This is Doc Baker's fault.
Okay. I mean, I'm there for it.
Whose fault is
this? I feel like this is a little bit of the mother's fault.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like she should have been like, let's go to the ocean.
Yeah.
I mean, people do this with their dogs. If your dog is going to die, see them take the dog to the ocean and let them see the water doing that? And stuff. On Instagram, people do it.
Who's doing that?
I don't know.
Who's granting their dog's last wish? How do you even know your dog's last wish?
I know, but people do it. This is my point. Like, do it with your kids, guys. What are you doing? Let this kid be who he is.
I mean, maybe she didn't have the means to, and I don't think she'd be hopping on trains. I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
Take up a collection. Have the church take up a collection. They would have done that.
Yes. They would have done that 100%. 100%. Harriet would have sponsored it. As long as they wore t-shirts that said Harriet Olsen sponsored this trip. or agreed to put Harriet Olsen's name on his tombstone.
There you go.
They would have been with that. All right. So, Jenny, at the end of every episode, we look back on a theme or a lesson or something we took from the original airing or on the rewatch. We call it our why. It's designed to finish the sentence. Gen X, this may be why. Jenny, what is your why for this episode?
So I have two. The one I kind of already touched on, which is if there's a place you want to see, don't wait for a perfect time to do that. Don't think you have to save up tons of money to do it. Just go. Like, traveling's not... It could be very expensive, but you can also find pretty inexpensive ways to do it.
Well, it could be very expensive if you're somebody who, like, you know, won't stay in a crappy hotel or... You know what I mean? It all depends. That's all relative,
like a hostel. Like, yeah. But, like, even if you have to, you know, do it... You know, a lot of people won't travel real far because they think they need to stay, like, a week or 2 weeks to make it worth it. Like, not really. Go for a few days.
I'm telling you, when Timmy and I went to Cape Cod on that whale watching thing, we only went for a long weekend. It remains one of my favorite vacations I've ever taken because it was just, it was post-COVID. Like, it was the surrounding, the like feelings surrounding the trip. Do you know what I mean? It was like, it was just wonderful. So I agree with you. It could be anything.
Yeah. And like, even if you can't say your dream is to see, you know, the Taj Mahal, like that's a long, difficult trip.
Mm-hmm.
From if you're in, you know, Europe or America or Canada, but you know, like, just travel, go see stuff, go see the world. It's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe do some short trips and see other things and build up to that, but
right,
like I love to travel. I travel all the time. The pandemic has been killing me because I haven't been able to travel, but if you notice, I'm like all over the place within car distance.
Yes. My kids really want to travel. Like, they have the bug. Samantha does anyway. She really, almost every month they are asking me when they're going to Europe. They're super excited.
If anything good came out of the pandemic, it forced me, well, one of my friends got a car, which none of us had cars before. And it forced us to kind of like do shorter trips around the area. And like, I think I talked about being in Salem.
Mm-hmm.
That was awesome. I never went there.
Well, that's your homecoming, Jenny. That's your touchstone.
I know. That is, like, my place. But, like, we've gone to a couple cool places that I probably wouldn't have gone to.
Yeah. You went to Governor's Island.
I went to Governor's Island. I camped on Governor's Island in New York City, which was super cool if you have a chance to do it.
Yeah.
When I say camp, I mean
glamp.
Luxury campground where there's real beds and there's showers and there's a bar and a restaurant.
I need to do that.
It's fun. I highly recommend it.
There's
it's
a place fun. In Maine that is kind of like that I want to do. That's
well,
right
this
on the
company,
coast.
They're called Collective Retreats. They do Governor's Island. They do Yellowstone Park. I think the hill somewhere in the hills of North Carolina, I think they do. And then they do Hudson Valley, like upstate a little bit. They just do a really good job. It's really nice.
Cool. Jenny, what's your other why? Is that it?
My other why is, I think this is why things like Make-A-Wish Foundation started.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Like, that was a big thing. It still is. But, like, we were more aware of it, I think, when we were younger. Like, that, you know, these kids got these. I think it's a great organization, a really cool thing to do. So
yeah,
they could have handled this for the mother, right?
They could have handled it for the mother. I remember when I was a senior in high school, one of my very good friends died of leukemia. And she was a Make-A-Wish kid. And I think that, like, and this is very common with kids. I think her wish was Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
And they went. Yep. Like, that's a pretty common thing, which is really cool if you have a young kid, you know, who wants to see Disney World. But yeah, organizations like that, always really worth your donations if you can pull it off. Jenny, I have... This is why I think I became so obsessed with the Pacific Ocean as a child.
Oh, really?
I'm just obsessed with the ocean. And I remember that when I was a freshman in high school, like maybe, because I remembered this episode. So maybe this was in my subconscious, but I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. When I was a freshman in high school, I read an article about a beach in Oregon where local glassmakers make like marbles and stuff and they put them all in the sand. And then there's a week-long festival where people can go and find them. And I was obsessed with this idea. And I wanted so badly to go to Oregon and to find these marbles.
Were they making them out of sea glass, I hope?
Yes.
Okay.
And I wanted so badly to go there and to find this. I don't even know if they still do it. I just read about this when I was a freshman in high school. And I decided, like, right then and there that I was going to live in Oregon when I graduated high school. And that never happened. And I think, like, I've always became so obsessed with it. Like, it because it was just something I always wanted and wasn't able to do. And I don't know why I'm particularly obsessed with the Pacific, because we only live 2 hours away from the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah, you can get to the Atlantic. Mm-hmm.
And then I have, either way, the ocean is a magical place that everyone needs to see. And I'm so lucky to live 2 hours from it.
Yeah.
Because
the ocean's, that's my nature. That's the nature I like.
Me too. I'm obsessed with it. Like, I just...
Like, the woods, not so much.
I don't even necessarily need to go in the ocean. I just like to sit and stare at it.
We took a trip to Florida before the whole pandemic thing went down with our whole family.
We did? Yes.
That wasn't your favorite trip, Anne?
That was a good trip. But no, it wasn't my favorite.
What was it? Anna Maria Island?
Yeah.
In Florida. And that, like, that... The Gulf of Mexico is my ocean. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
I was in it like 8 hours a day. Like, it's just warm. It's
yes. Beautiful. I will go in water like that. But when
I like the Caribbean, I like the Mediterranean, I like the Gulf of Mexico. That's the kind of water. Like, I'm just too cold. It's too cold for me to go in the ocean up here.
When I stare at the ocean, I think about everything that has occurred on the ocean in the centuries before our lifetime.
What about if you turned around and looked at the beach? Wouldn't you think the same thing?
No, not really.
But it's the same thing.
The ocean is timeless. The beach changes with time.
Yeah, that's true.
The ocean is timeless. And I'm particularly obsessed with the New England culture around the ocean. I don't know why. A lot of writers I like lived up there. And
having moved to a place that has like a long history... I mean, not that Scranton doesn't, but like New York has a lot, like even being on Governor's Island, like really long history. Like it was New Amsterdam mm-hmm, before it was mm-hmm. New York. Like it was, you know, like Native American tribes before that. And there's just so much history there. Like it's, I don't know. It's interesting.
Scranton has a super depressing history.
A little bit.
Like, oh, here's the entrance to the mines where your grandfathers worked themselves to death.
Well, but Scranton had like its golden era was in the 20s, that turn of the century, 20s?
Yeah. Yep, probably
around that. It's just interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, our takeaway here, go see the goddamn ocean if you can, if you haven't already.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like how you can smell it before you get to it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. There's a great Anthony Bourdain episode.
Love him.
If you ever saw Parts Unknown, I want to say it's season 6, there's a New Jersey episode. And I show it to all my students because I teach in the Northeast and we primarily get most of our students from New York and New Jersey. So they're familiar with New Jersey, where he talks about going down the shore as a kid. And if you have lived that lifestyle, yep. I highly recommend this episode. It's so great. But he talks about that. Like they would hit the bridge and they would all put their windows down because that's when you would smell it. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's funny because New York is a coastal town.
Yeah, but nobody thinks of it that way.
It is, right? It's so super weird. So the neighborhood I'm in now, not so much, but my old neighborhood, I was like on the East River.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes like certain parts of the neighborhood, you'd smell the ocean. It wasn't all the time, but like sometimes you'd smell it. And actually when I was on Governor's Island, you could smell the seawater.
Yeah.
And it's like you forget and you're like, oh my God, and there's seagulls. And you're like, yeah, we're... it's New York Harbor, but it's the ocean.
Yeah. Remember that night I got drunk and begged you to take me down to the East River just so I could look at water and you refused?
Yeah, because that was stupid.
Okay. All right, guys. So, Jenny, why don't you tell us what we have coming up next? We're going into season six, and we know who comes back.
Season six.
Who comes back, Jen? Who comes back?
Ride or die.
I'm so excited. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Okay, so we're doing season six, episode one, Back to School, part one. As the new school year begins, Nellie receives a shocking graduation present from her mother. Carolyn takes a job at the restaurant when Charles is injured and unable to work.
Okay, so the gift is the restaurant. That's full of spoilers there. Nellie gets Nellie's restaurant for her graduation gift.
So this is when I think I know Almanzo and Eliza Jane are introduced in this episode.
They are?
Yes.
Is Ride or Die back?
Not yet, I don't think. When is that happening?
I don't know.
Nope.
Episode 8 of season 6.
The name of it's The Return of Mr. Edwards.
But wait, yeah. Jenny, I think that he's in that and then he doesn't come back again until season 8.
No.
Yeah. What? Yep. After the series ended, he returned to Little House. French was surprised when Michael Landon agreed to his returning as Edwards. This is his first episode as Edwards. Episode 8 of season 6. Then in episode 8 of season 8. Then taking up the role again full time in season 19 of episode 19 of season 8.
It's like, oh my God. Is there season 19? What?
So they tease us.
Oh no.
Oh God.
Motherfucker. Jesus, I thought we were there finally.
I thought so too. So this is just going to go. This is the song that doesn't end. It goes on and on, my friend. All right, Jenny. Anything else?
No, I think I'm good.
All right, guys. Thanks so much for listening. Again, if you enjoy what you hear, think about supporting us on Patreon. Patreon.com, and you can search Gen X This Is Why. Also, you can join us on Facebook in the Mimi Bees and on Instagram at Gen X This Is Why, and all of this is in the show notes for you, or you can go to our website, GenXThisIsWhy.com. All right, thanks for listening. See you soon.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.